Hello and welcome to episode 63 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Roberts, joined by Sim Langa. And before we get started, I just want to apologize for my language on this broadcast. But Sim, after this past weekend, in which the Boilermakers just came out and literally laid a complete egg, getting shut out 19-0. On the road against Northwestern, just really come away with one question, man. And that was just, what the fuck happened?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to piggyback off of your shit, off your lead in. I mean, I cuss pretty often, but yeah, we're gonna ramp it up today. Yeah. I don't know what that was on Saturday. I really don't. I don't know what that was. That's just not, obviously, like, think now where they lost five straight. But, by a mile from me, and that's kind of saying a lot based on how last week went, by a mile, this one was the most depressing, because it felt like a regression. It felt like a regression in terms of what you saw. It was truly like a game where you saw all of the issues happen in the same game. So I think previous games you've seen, well, the defense hasn't been able to get off the field, but the offense has still been able to, to move down the field and be able to score some points. So if and when the defense was able to get a stop, it's like, hey, shit, you have a chance. That wasn't the case on Saturday. Defense, what, the first two drives of that first two drives for Northwestern, 14 plays each, each going, well, the first one going 7 minutes and 15 seconds, the second one going 8:10. If you're doing the math, that is over a quarter that they had the ball. And yeah, you were only down 10-0 after that, but the offense just looked inept. So yeah, I mean, it was bullshit, honestly. Like, I was at a yeah, I was at a cider festival. I was watching this game. I watched it on my phone because, I'm dedicated like that. But believe me, those pours started getting heavier, because I was like, nah, this where we will not do this shit. And like, it's just really, it's frustrating, it's upsetting, it's all those things. And I think, again, like we were pointing out the last couple of weeks about how it's kind of like the details, it's the little things that this team's not doing that, is kind of costing them games. And you could especially say that after the Minnesota game. But the reality is, man, is that this team right now is playing like a bad football team. Like, they are. Like, like the penalties, the turnovers, the miscommunications on both sides of the ball. They're just not executing at a level that I think even they don't believe, like that they know is not, that they know they're capable of. Like, you know what I mean? Like they, I think every guy in that locker room knows that they can execute better, but for whatever reason, nobody is. And I think the blame's to go all the way around. It's going to, like, no one, in my opinion, is really void of blame here. And I guess the good thing is that you still have more games left, but the bad thing is also that you could have more games left, because if this continues to be, and you look at that November schedule, as we've kind of hinted at, that November schedule does not do you any favors, and to lose two games that in my opinion were winnable games. I think if Purdue played the way that they can play, I think they could have won both of these games. But to have not, like, to have lost these two, and it doesn't give you much hope about what could happen with Rutgers. But yeah, I was with you, man. I just was sitting there like, what the fuck, man? What is this? Why? How is this? How am I watching this?
Yeah, I think that was in a slew of disappointing things, like, just in general, that was the most disappointing thing, is just how it seemed like this team took a giant step back last week. And, we have talked about for a few weeks about, all of the positive trends, and, that they were right there. They just need to make a couple plays. If you don't, turn it over in the red zone here, if you, the defense can make a stand here, if you can hold on to a pass here, you're right there. And that game, like you said, like, top to bottom, everybody took a step back, and that starts with the head coach.
Right.
I thought it was really disappointing how this team came out to be so flat after a week where I would have thought would have we talked about this 2 weeks ago where that Minnesota game kind of felt like a season defining kind of fork in the road type game. And early indications are not good for how the team has responded. I think that's the most disappointing thing is like you see quarterback and wide receivers not being on the same page. You see kick returners not knowing when to catch the ball to return it, and you have to start inside your 10-yard line. You see defenders getting flagged for pass interference. You see defense continue to getting flagged to extend drives. Like we're near the end of October and this shit is still happening. Like it
Right.
shouldn't. This is stuff you see like week one, two, three, like not this far into the season. I think that's the most disappointing thing. And then like we talked a little bit on a previous episode too, and specifically with the offense, but just kind of the team in general, like very much like last year, this team doesn't have an identity.
Right.
Like you really don't know what you're expecting week in and week out, play calling wise, are we gonna run the football? Are we gonna open it up? Defensively, are we going to be aggressive? Are we going to sit back and play zone? It seems like still we're at October 20th and we're still trying to figure out what kind of defense we want to be, what kind of offense we want to be, and hell, what kind of team we want to be. And that's never a good sign.
Yeah, you don't a team that I would say is trending in the right direction is not one that, like you said, that after 7 weeks is sitting where we're sitting here having that conversation about what do you do, what do you know? And that's, again, I think that's, for me, that's, it's kind of what's most, what kind of pisses me off about the really the last 2 weeks, obviously this past week. But I felt like even in the like USC game, the Notre Dame game, and the Illinois game, the offense was able to move to a certain extent where you're like, all right, look, like worst case, like offensively, like, yeah, we can do some stuff here. We can move here. But there, what you saw on Saturday just looked like, it looked like the, I don't want to be
It was
like
an
too
embarrassment.
dramatic. It was, no, it was embarrassing. Yeah, it was embarrassing. I mean, I was, didn't want to, I mean, yeah, I don't want to be too dramatic. I felt like it was like watching a team in spring ball for like the first or second time they were running like full 11 on 11 type shit. Like it was just, they can, like they're better than this. I know that. I mean, I truly believe that. But also at the same time, the more that you go out and you have these, like if you repeat these type of performances, that opinion will shift of like, well, maybe they're not, and maybe this is more of what you are. Yeah, I like, looking at the stats here, and I'm seeing, the first five possessions, all punts, no drive that was over 3 minutes. Then you have a turnover on downs. I think that was at the end of the half, though. So, then a fumble, downs, interception, fumble, downs. Like,
And
need
you know
alcohol.
it stinks because like you said it was like almost everybody took a step back. Like I made sure last week to point out how well the offensive line played, and I thought that was one of the highlights of the game against Minnesota, and I thought they could really use that as a springboard. And then they came out and played really bad. And just had some crushing penalties. Just again, things that you like false starts and ineligible men down, like just small stuff like that. Like they It was just a disappointing effort from start to finish from the coaching staff on down. I thought on the offensive side that the play calling was really interesting, for lack of a better term. Even when Malachi came in, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but I just want to talk about the play calling. Like, even when Malachi came in, and it felt like they were really afraid to open it up, and then they do, and he just starts dropping these deep dime balls. Like, why were we not letting him rip early on? Or, why not get him out in space some? Like, it seemed like we continued on short yardage plays to dial up a QB draw up the middle, and they were clearly stacking the box, because you had two passes to Mockaby where he got out in space and he cuts it upfield. Like, we would do one positive thing and then two steps back. And I don't know. It just seemed like it seemed like there was no game plan at all for the offense specifically. And I know part of it was probably because they really couldn't get into a rhythm. Like, you go three and out, and to your point, Northwestern, dominates two straight drives, and all of a sudden it's 10-0 and it's almost halftime. And you've ran three plays, but it felt like there was no rhythm at all. There was no game plan. Like, your best player has seven carries. Not really sure what that's about. Like, it seems like we haven't Malachi hit a couple of deep balls, but when Ryan was in there, like, we were really lacking deep plays, and we took one shot. And I think you and I even texted about how big of a joke it was. Like, threw it into like triple coverage and like 10 yards over his head. Like, we really never threatened to push the ball downfield, which is something we had success early on, and for whatever reason just have stopped. But man, I long story short here, because I feel like I'm rambling, but I felt like the offensive play calling left a lot to be desired this weekend.
Not even, I'm not even gonna bother going on a fucking rant. I agree. It's just fucking, just Jesus Christ, man.
But Sim, I do want to talk about the quarterback, because, obviously a change happened. It was You never want the change to happen because of injury. And hoping that Ryan Brown is okay and it's nothing too serious. From what Coach Odom said today, it sounds like he's probably doubtful and out this week. But hoping for a speedy recovery for him. But all things considered, and it could just be me trying to find like a bright spot, but Malachi played pretty well, being thrust into this role in the second half. Like, when they finally let him kind of open it up, he showed off his arm. Just some absolute beauty throws, deep. Obviously one turns into a fumble and one got overturned into a drop, but like, neither of those things are his fault. Like, he put it right where he needed to be. I came away pretty impressed with how he played in that second half.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, you never want to see someone come in because of injury, but obviously for him, the spot that he came in, the situation, he performed. I would say admirably. Like 11 of 20, 187, as you mentioned. He had some good throws. I think obviously, for the way he played, you probably would have liked to see him. You would have liked to see him be able to maybe cap one of these drives off for the touchdown, but as we said, like. Didn't seem like anybody was about that action, so whatever. And then he had what he ran it 10 times, or 10 times as well. So I mean he definitely showed kind of like the that dual threat that he can be. And it does make you it does I think it yeah it lends itself to some questions, because I know I at least have been on here, and I know you and I have talked about it before about how when they would bring him in these very obvious running situations, these goal to go like situations and or short yardage situations, and it was very clear based on the tape of like, yeah, he's gonna run it and he's probably gonna run it up the middle. He's probably gonna try to run between the tackles. And so for him to be able to get out there and kind of a situation where you couldn't be like, hey, no, we just need you to run it. It was just like, yo, we're gonna have to run everything. Because for me personally, that's how I feel it should be. It's like there, anytime you put in your backup quarterback, whether it is for a play or for two plays, you know, to me, you have to like you have to put them in with the willingness to run everything you plan on running, to call whatever. Because the moment you try to minimize that, I think you know you become an easier team to defend. The tape eventually will show. Hey, look, when he's on the field, they're running one of these like two, three plays. But no, I think he played there. I think he played admirably. It was a good performance, I guess, for given the situation that he was put in. And like you said, yeah, it looks like Brown's probably not going to play this upcoming week against Rutgers. So, you know, he's going to get more time, and it'd be curious to see what happens when you have an entire week to game plan with a guy like Malachi. Or is it going to be like more of the same stuff? I kind of think it will be. But yeah, I'm kind of eager to see what more he does in terms from the passing game. I think we're all pretty clear, especially after that run he had against Minnesota. I think we're all pretty clear that that boy can run. He's got some get up to him. But in terms of his ability to be able to really to throw and to, you know, you want to see him make all the throws, the short throws, the, you know, the gimmies, the medium range, and then obviously the deep balls, which again, he kind of gave us a sample of that, you know, in his performance on Saturday. But now, you know, you want to see that stretched out over the course of a game and see if maybe he can be a spark of sorts. Like you said, I hope that Ryan Brown's injury is not crazy serious. It was unfortunate for him to get hurt, but I would imagine that there's probably some people in some circles that were having a conversation about like, hey, how come Malachi hasn't gotten an opportunity, especially when it seemed like the offense has been so stagnant? It's like, man, maybe you should put him in for a drive. And I hate saying that in terms of playing two quarterbacks, because it takes us back to, you know, the Brohm times, and like I couldn't stand that. But yeah, I mean, it was if you're gonna say anyone was it was if there was any silver lining, it probably was Malachi Singleton.
Yeah, no, and to your point, it'll be interesting to kind of see, how he looks with, a full week of running with the ones. Is it gonna just assume that he's gonna be the starter at this point, just based off of what Odom said, in his presser? It sounds like Brown's gonna be out. With that, it'll be interesting to see. And then we'll have much more, when we preview this one. But he's coming into a pretty good opportunity because Rutgers has the worst defense in the Big Ten. So if
Allegedly.
there was ever a time for a guy to step up, it would be this week. But Sim, I want to talk about the defense a little bit because it feels weird to say, given that they only gave up 19 points. And, I would say that both you and me, if you told me before the game started that regardless of what happens, if the defense only gives up 19 points, would you take it? And I think we both would say yes.
Yeah. Oh no. I think that's probably what infuriates me more about even too, like about like what happened on Saturday. If you told me I'd give up 19
So
points, I'd be like, hell yeah, Purdue's winning. Fuck you talking about.
they only give up 19 points, but it's still, man, just leave a lot to be desired out there. Like there's still, now they were able to generate some turnovers late, and credit to them. And like you just really hope that that's the start of like really building something, because there was a couple of really good plays, and they had missed a couple of opportunities to get interceptions earlier on drives. And Smiley was able to bring down an interception on a really good play on a ball late. So you say you hope that that's just kind of a springboard for the rest of the year. But man, they continue to struggle on third down, especially early. Could not get off the field. Like you said, whenever there's 7 or 8 minute drives, defense is usually not stopping much. And so you kind of put your offense in a hole. It was really a time where they could, go out and, make a play and flip the field and try to get some momentum, and they just weren't able to do it. Last week we talked about it was the face mask penalties that extended drives. This week it's the defensive pass interference penalties that extended drives. And no matter how you feel about if it was the right call, if it was a soft call, at the end of the day, those penalties extended drives, which led to points. And it's just continuing to be a really frustrating theme with this defense is the penalties and the inability to get off the field on third down.
No, I mean, like those being consistent themes are what, can switch the conversation from what we were talking about like earlier this year, even like when we had Dustin on. We're talking about, man, this defense has been pretty solid, even though the fact they haven't been able to turn their to create any turnovers. And now it's just like, man, like is this defense even really good? Is it are they good? And it's unfortunate too, because if you're just looking at the stats, they gave up four scoring drives, two field goals, two touchdowns. But then after that last touchdown, you get a three and out punt, you force a fumble, force a three and out, you get a pick, and you get a missed field goal. So like those are like, that's not bad. But the problem is that you gave up a 7 minute drive to, for a field goal to start the game, touchdown for 8 minutes on an 8 minute drive. Heck, the field goal drive that happened right after that was seven plays and 60 yards in 2 minutes. And then the last touchdown drive again was another, 10 plus play drive. It was 12 plays, 76 yards, 7.5 minutes, leads in a touchdown. And it's like, those longer drives. Guys are they're crushing, and it go kind of takes us back to this point of like complimentary football, but yeah, like you said, like the defense has to be able to get off the field. They have to be able to get off the field. Like Northwestern was 6 of 10 in the first half on third downs, 60%, and that's just like that's just not good enough. Like you have to be better. Like when you're in those, like you're in third and sixes, third and sevens, you have to find a way to get off the field. And right now, we're like the defense seems to very much so be lacking, a couple guys who are able to make plays at the hour you need it in order to get us, to get off the field. Again, I'm not trying to say that as though like, guys don't want to. I think, I think the effort is there, the want to is there, but in terms like, kind of like open Coach Odom's been saying the last couple of weeks, you can't just, it's not about that. Actually have to do it. And whether it's penalties or, it's just not make, not wrapping a guy up on first contact, whatever it is, you're just not making the play when you need to. And that's not like that. This Purdue team can't afford that. This Purdue team is very heavily dependent on complimentary football. And that means that the defense, when you get in a positive situation, you must take advantage. You must get out of there. You must get off the field. And that hasn't been happening. It hasn't been happening really for the last 5 weeks. But yeah, obviously this one is the worst, and it's a shame because they only gave up 19 points. They only gave up 19 points, and that should have been okay, should have been enough. But given what was happening with the offense, this is a game where you kind of needed to look at the defense and hey, we need a little bit more from you today. We need some turnovers in that first half, or we need, just some stops just to get them off the field. And you weren't able to get that, and yeah, so here we are. Drowning in our sorrows again.
Yeah. And I did just want to highlight though, we would be remiss if we didn't give a shout out to Manny Powell, who was all over the field, finished with 20 tackles, which was the most by a Boilermaker in 20 years. And the first time that a Big Ten player has done it since 2018. Shout out to him. And really, like we said, it's hard to really dig too much in on the defense too much, because at the end of the day they give up 19 points. But credit to Manny, who was all over the field, man. 20 tackles, that's an
Poor guy
impressive.
was a, it's a busy day. It's a busy day.
But yeah, man, at the end of the day, the Boilermakers weren't able to get it done. They will return home to West Lafayette this weekend for homecoming. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how this team responds back at home. We will have much more on our preview episode to look at that. But Sim, I want to switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about something a little bit more uplifting. And that is the volleyball team, Coach Shondell and the ladies, man, they just continue to impress. I feel like we've kind of sound like a broken record. Now we're, I feel like each week we're like, man, like shout out to like the staff and everybody within the team for, how they've really kind of arguably exceeded expectations. And then, they go out and they just keep winning, man. And it started on Thursday night at Gainbridge, a really fun environment. Looked really neat there. I was able to watch a little bit of the match. Looked like a pretty fun crowd, which you would expect for a Purdue IU game in Indianapolis. And it was a really competitive match, especially early on. And the Boilermakers were able to come out with a 3-1 win there. And Sim, it's like we've kind of talked about, like this was another kind of one of those resume wins. You get another, technically road win against a ranked opponent. Like you just keep stacking those up.
Yeah, we talked after the Nebraska match about how, there's going to be a lot of teams who lose in Nebraska this year. That's it's an elite squad. They're number one in the country for a reason. But you couldn't allow that to kind of you couldn't allow that to have a snowball effect. And now all of a sudden, you turn around and you lose, and a game like against IU, with the for the Monon Spike, you shouldn't necessarily need anything to get up for that. Obviously your in-state rival, but like you said, it was a ranked matchup between the two teams, and it was technically a road game. And when you're talking about, yeah, looking towards the tourney, that's a big win to be able to get. And after after dropping a set, water found its own level, and the ladies came out and they balanced the scales really rather quickly, which obviously we appreciate around here. No need to go five sets, took care of that in four. And then we're able to consolidate that on yesterday against Rutgers, going into Piscataway, which, as we know, as Purdue sports fans in general, there's not always great things that happen there, and took care of business there. It's 3-0. So yeah, I would agree with you what you said. It's just for kind of how unknown things were going to be with this team this year. I think if you had told people at the beginning of the year that at this point, especially after that particular stretch in earlier in the month that we discussed, we were talking with Nate, if you had said that, hey, by the time that that's all said and done, Purdue would be 15-3, maybe ranked, I think that people would, I think we would all, of course, be happy about it. But I think it would kind of be like, damn, all right, well, like that's, yeah, I guess it might be the same old Purdue in that sense, in terms of what Shondell has been able to build here. And then also too, a shout out to Taylor Anderson. She was named every Big Ten setter of the week. So obviously she continues to just ball out herself. But yeah, man, just really good by the ladies to be able to bounce back and be able to get those two wins, especially the one against IU, like you said, at Gainbridge. That was a fun atmosphere for sure.
Yeah, and also a shout out Coach Shondell as well for his 500th win against Rutgers. That's just super impressive, man. So credit to him. But I think that was just an impressive win as well, because you always worry about just kind of like a letdown. And like you said, like we don't have to be reminded, no matter what the sport is, about how tough it is to go to Piscataway and win. And so not only for the ladies to go there and win, but to sweep, and sweep relatively easily too. Like, just a very, and it's starting to become like a theme too, Sim, where like the Blazers just go out and take care of business against these opponents that they should. And that's just, that's the sign of a really good team, a really mature team, that they can go out on the road, not only beat the teams that they should, but beat them pretty easily.
Yeah. No, we've talked about that in other sports about how certain teams, when you're good, you have this ability, you have this tendency to kind of play down to the level of your competition. Now, sometimes you can just and that type of playing like that, especially on the road, can get you in trouble because you drop a set. Now all of a sudden, the opposing team has a bit more confidence, and you have to try to figure out, hey, like you have to try to get back to playing the level that you know. And sometimes that you're not able to do that in time. So yeah, for them to be able to go in there and make quick work of that, make quick work of Rutgers again, that's a sign of a team who I think is playing as one. They're playing together, and they're very much so. I feel like they're all on the same page in terms of like, hey, we lost to Nebraska, but like, nah, we're gonna go out here. We have an opportunity to kind of to bounce back against Indiana, and then also knowing, hey, look, okay, so we took care of that. Don't want to overlook this Rutgers match because the next match they have is against Illinois, who they lost to at home earlier this year. So that game could have easily been like a letdown game. But for them to go out and just like handle them and get it out, get out the way, it's great. I mean, stress-free sports across the board. We'll sign up for it every time.
I 100% agree. And just to kind of highlight like kind of how impressive like the start of this year has been, ESPN came out with their initial bracketology, and they had the ladies as a 3 seed, which I'm pretty sure if you would have asked us that at the start of the year, be like, oh wow, that like how did that happen?
Right.
So not only that, but like just looking at the schedule, there's way more opportunities too to kind of build that resume as well. You still have multiple ranked matches to build on that resume even more. But just really neat to see them kind of get recognized as well. They're ranked number 11 in the country now. But with that first bracketology to be a 3 seed, it was like, oh shoot, all right.
Right. Like you said, yeah, they're a 3 seed too. And like you said, there's plenty of opportunities between now and the end of the season to be able to rack up more good wins, and possibly, possibly climb even higher. So yeah, I mean it's they're in good shape right now. And obviously we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but like yeah, if they're able to kind of continue this and continue to stack the wins, we could be in November, and we could have some real, we could have some different talks in the best way,
Yeah, and one of those opportunities will actually be this weekend. So, like you said, the ladies will go to Champaign on Friday, in a big revenge matchup there, and then they'll return to West Lafayette on Sunday to take on number 20 Minnesota. So another opportunity for a resume building win there. That'll be on Big Ten Plus. Because apparently, for whatever reason, Big Ten Network doesn't like putting ranked matches on the weekend. But that's another story for a different day. But shout out to the ladies for just being a bright spot right now when Purdue Sports really needed it. And hope they continue to do well there. But that'll just about wrap this one up. Want to thank everybody for their interactions this weekend. We all got to be frustrated together there. Hopefully we'll have some brighter things on the horizon. Basketball season is officially starts this week, so we all have that to look forward to, thank the Lord. And we will have much more on the basketball team here in upcoming episodes. But again, thank you everybody for their continued support. And most importantly, boiler up.
Yes, sir.